The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Are you crazy? Gonna kill me?
Call me crazy one more time.
Boy, that knock to the head must have been harder than I thought, because I'm saying crazy things that I don't even understand.
Sometimes crazy is the best way to go.
What are you doing here, you little freak? Ow! That's my eye, you crazy bitch!
Did you just go crazy and fall asleep?
All right, y'all. I'd like to thank you for checking out Drive Me Crazy with Froopy. I'm Froopy, and I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Kurt.
And hello.
A new friend, one of my Facebook friends, Mr. Levante. What's up, Levante?
What's up?
What's up? Okay, we're here. We're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown the last two nights. I know, yeah, Levante was saying it. He missed a little bit Raw, but we was watching SmackDown. We'll talk about being blinded by some really white skin, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that. So, but... Okay, like Raw last night. I mean, I don't know. What did you think about Raw last night?
I think about Raw last night? It wasn't that bad. But, you know, about the Frank thing, the Bray Wyatt thing, you know, I wasn't a fan of it. Like, I respect Bray Wyatt when he did in his career because, you know, he changed his career before Bray Wyatt with Husky Harris, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
The NXT, the LCW, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, he got buried by John Cena in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they was talking about that the other day, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
After, right. You know, for that push.
Well, you like push. What do you think, Levante, about the whole the Fiend gimmick? I kind of like it with the whole mask thing.
I respect it now, but for a moment, you know, when he first came out, it was like he was playing the fairy tale stuff. Like, why the hell he doing that?
Yeah.
And like a couple weeks later, I guess now he's playing the fairy tale thing when he went on Dark Side, you know?
Right, like, right.
It's really creepy out though.
It's creepy.
Yeah. But he did a good job of that.
Bray Wyatt with the using the mandible claw got the approval of Mr. Mick Foley, you know, using that mandible claw, which I think is really good. A really good finisher for him, Fiend, you know. Okay, let's talk about Raw last night. So, started right out last night with Seth Rollins coming out. Shout out to Knoxville, Cheap Pop, of course, you know, and talking about Clash of Champions, how they lost the titles, and you know the main event against Strowman for the Universal Title, which saw Rollins, you know, retain, and then you know giving props to Strowman, you know. And you know, it says Strowman beat the hell out of him, but you know, it took him, you know, the four stomps and curb stomps and a pedigree to take him out. So, and then you know, he's talking about how the Fiend attacked him on the stage after the show.
Yeah,
you know, and all of a sudden, and I was laughing because the fans were in the crowd going yowie wowie. So, I mean, you know,
I think. Two nights in a row, I think Sir Rob was getting booed two nights in a row. I think he got booed at Crash Championship because they were looking up. The hype is on Bray now because, you know, he got his new gimmick, you know?
Right. Yeah.
The fans kind of turned on Seth Rollins
they
there,
kinda
didn't
turned
they?
On Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Well, then they did that Firefly Funhouse came up, and, you know, Wyatt up there, you know, talking and saying Rollins is his future best friend. That's just creepy as hell. it's Bray Wyatt, not Mr. Rogers. I'm like, and it was just creepy as shit. But, you know, and he says he's glad that Rollins was okay, and Rollins telling him, you know, he's sick. And, of course, and then Ramblin' Rabbit telling Rollins to run. Man.
Can I just say one thing about this whole gimmick?
Yeah.
I don't think Bray Wyatt, even as the Fiend, needs the WWE Championship or the Universal Championship.
Right.
I think he's fine without it. I let him just run roughshod over the entire roster until somebody like Undertaker or maybe Finn Balor comes back.
Right.
But, I don't think he needs the titles. He doesn't need it soon.
But like you're right. You know the push is kind of early, but I really feel like this in my opinion. When I may have thought about you see when I go to ASU right. I'm 21. You know I still watch WWE. You know I put you know me Kurt. You know I put WWE on social media. I keep up with
right, yeah.
YouTube and the result. But yeah. I really feel like Bray, like, it's the hype. I feel like if Bray wins, I think Finn Balor should come after it somehow because, you know, because you bought Demon. I feel like Finn Balor should come up, just come after that title if somehow Bray do win. If they let let Bray Wyatt win title himself at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Finn Balor should come after because, you know, it happened 3 years ago, you know, it was a box made between Seth and Finn. You know, he won, which everybody knew that Finn Balor was going to win the World Championship. He just came from NXT. He lost to Samoa Joe. He go to Mary Ross. He beat Roman Reigns to get to the spot. You know, Seth Rollins didn't peak because he was a villain at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Got into the title match, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, what's that kind of figure like? Since Daniel was on SmackDown, Seth Rollins is at some time for the new Universe Championship around that time, and Finn Balor came out. Well, Finn Balor won't compete in the two for the four way match that night. I said.
Well, you know, I think Bray Wyatt or Finn Balor actually is deserving of the Universal title.
Definitely.
He was the first Universal Champion, but he had to give it up the next night because of an injury.
Next night because of injury, you know.
Right.
You know, Seth Rollins played the villain role. You know, he made a mistake and injured him. You know, he Finn Balor still fought out through the match. Even Kevin Owens played a heel by that time. You know, when you see Kevin Owens in the ring, he like a mean villain. You know, but you know, back inside, you know, the UID 24, you would know Kevin Owens was upset. He was kind of pissed at Finn, and then he broke character and started posting pictures of him and Finn Balor 3 years ago. Even after he won a championship as a villain, you get it.
Yeah. So then it's been confirmed that Rollins, you know, last night he confirmed that it'll be him against Wyatt at Hell in a Cell, inside the cell, which, you know, I mean, that's gonna be a hard match to watch because I think
they will.
It's gonna be hard because those two. I mean, I like both of them. I like this whole character thing, you know, Bray Wyatt with the Fiend. And it's just creepy as hell, but Wyatt, you know, references the Fiend and saying, you know, he said hello to Rollins at Clash of Champions. It might have to say more tonight. And, you know, Rollins just like kind of looked a little peaked. He's like, okay, this is creepy, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially at the end of the night. I like how the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a good start to Raw.
It was, actually, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, then we had Braun Strowman walking backstage. You know, Charlie Caruso stopped him, and she was asking him, she didn't think he was going to be there. And he says he's going to go beat up the next guy that gets in his way, and they're going to get these hands. And then we come back from a break, and it's Ziggler and Rude who won the tag team titles from... Seth and Ron. And then they're doing a tag team summit. Yeah. And then out come the Revival, and Rude's talking about that no one believed that him, you know, that it when him and Ziggler were teaming up, and he goes on, you know, to being at the top, but then out comes Braun, and the Revival tried to attack him, he fought him off, and then Strowman got in the ring, pushed Ziggler, dropped him with a boot. You know, Rude just took off. You know, and then he running around the ring, steamrolling everybody. It's like, somebody get the name of that. Somebody get the license plate of that Mack truck and shit.
My only problem with that whole situation, I understand you want Braun to be the monster. Mm-hmm. I get that. He is a big guy. He's worth, what, 380 or something like that. You know,
he's like close to like 3.5, I think.
Yeah, he's a huge motherfucker. But
right.
But my only problem with that is that at the end of the night, they had all those guys again beat up on Seth Rollins, who is the Universal Champion. And you want the Universal Champion that looks at least strong, right?
Right.
But let's see. These guys get beat up by Braun Strowman, but They beat up on Seth Rollins.
What? Right.
That doesn't, you know, there's no.
Yeah, but yeah, and then the night before, Rollins manages to beat the monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, something doesn't equal up there.
Speaking of Braun, when Braun been it, like, you know, ever since the draft started, ever since the brand started in 2016, you know, Braun and Wyatt family separated. You know, 2016 year, it was like to me, with Braun 2016 year, when he started dominating, when they started putting him against the jobbers competitor, it was like, you know, he probably gonna win new world champion. Like, that's not his year. 2016 wasn't his year. But 2017, 2018, 2019 should have been one of these years that he should have got universal title.
See, like, that's something we talk about all the time. You know, I mean, Strowman, you know, they set him up and they put him so big, but then he always comes up short.
Yeah, he's had
big matches. I mean,
he's had
think
six
about
chances.
It.
He had six chances at that universal championship, I mean, and he's lost them all.
just like think about it. You know, when he faced Roman, when we first attacked Roman. Like, first attack Roman at the big match, the Royal Rumble against Kevin Owens for Universal Champion, which I really thought Roman should have won, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I thought Roman should have won. It was that night when Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble, eliminating Roman. It's supposed to be Finn Balor coming out, or Samoa Joe, but I think Finn Balor hurt, and then Samoa Joe was dead tonight, so he decided to pick Roman. It was kind of bad, you know. I respect the hell out of Roman because he's stronger. Yeah, and this man actually have heart, you know. Think about it. Like, when Richard Man told him, you know, you're going to be the face of WWE, you know, he actually showed it that he could. I mean, like, think about it. In this era, like, even though people really don't like Roman, or even stuff like that as one of the face of WWE, you get it? It's just like how Roman Reigns did at WrestleMania 31, you know. He nearly won the championship, you know. He got beat up. He had heart in that match, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, if they would have let Roman go his own course and let him try and appease the fans instead of WWE trying to force him down our throat as much as they did, I think he would have been better off if they would have just let him do his thing.
What they're doing now with Roman, you know, they're just letting him do his thing, and it's working. It actually is really working.
basically, I'm trying to say is that, like, you think about it, when Braun Strowman attacked Roman, you know, when Reigns was all the way at 3-time World Heavyweight Champion, it was around that time. And he faced Roman at Fastlane, which Roman lost, which Braun Strowman lost, but beat him back, you know, at Backlash, I think. Backlash 2017, that year, when Braun Strowman started putting Roman Reigns through the ambulance, but when Reigns attacked him in the ambulance, and Braun Strowman had shoulder bleeding or well. You know, that was really the year that he was supposed to get a Universal Championship. But, like, Braun Lesnar, he's, like, one of the greatest wrestlers. But at the same time, I didn't like his Universal title run, you know. He was cocky, lazy, and he was treating the championship like it was a boxing and a UFC vacation. Because, you know, in boxing UFC, they get some type of treatment because it's a different sport, you know.
Right. Well, Brock holding the title, with Brock holding the title, you know, that's kind of just a slap in the face. Because WWE, they tell you, they'll be like, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so had to vacate the title because they couldn't defend it within 30 days. But yet, here's Brock, you know, off TV for like 2 months, three months at a time. And, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, they're trying to push, you know, Brock is, you know, the beast, you know, and whatever. But, I mean, how can, you know, and then Heyman having to come out. And I feel bad because he's like, you know, reigning, defending. Yeah, okay, you're not defending that title, like, you know, every week or every other week or at least once a month, you know, every couple of months. You know, you get to sit at home in your farm in Canada and collect a paycheck. And that's bullshit.
But, like, I agree with that. Brock. Wrong and wrong. At the end of the day, Brock, you know, between Kurt and Brock, you know, Kurt is better. But, like, if you do your grades all the time, to me, it's all team. If you're talking about entertainment-wise, but you're talking about wrestling-wise, you know, throughout their whole life, it's Brock or Kurt. Well, actually, it's Kurt for real. But Brock is way – he's better than Roman himself and definitely Braun. But, like, he wasn't treating that title like he's a champion. I wouldn't mind him being championship for 504 days, but I feel like he should appeal more and stop being so cocky. Like, I'm not saying that Jinder Mahal is a better champion, but at least he come to work, though.
Right?
At least he come to work.
Yeah, like, during his reign, he came to work for 170 days. So
exactly, 170 days.
Right.
But, like, But, like, you know, if Jinder Mahal would have somehow retained a championship before Cesaro to face the bar, he would have got his ass whooped. Don't get me wrong.
I want to see something like Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, because you know what? I mean, if they were to push, like, you know, Brock to be this big unstoppable, you know, beast, and you know, and Braun's like the, you know, the monster among men. I mean, if they're gonna do a match with those two, it's got to be not, you know, Brock like totally dominating for most of
There's
it.
There's got to be a conclusion to it, basically.
But it's got to be back and forth. It can't be one sided.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So, go ahead.
My bad. When he faced Samoan Joe,
yeah,
I already knew Brock going to win because, you know, I'm going to say something about Samoan Joe in a couple minutes. If it's not tonight, it's going to be like another time. But Braun, you know, he lost his skills going for the 2017 SummerSlam, made a fatal four way. Braun is supposed to lose the belt 2-1 of them. It could have been Braun, Roman. Some, I actually want one. I don't matter who. It don't even matter how you won the Fatal 4-Way. How you just could have came in there, pinned Roman or Rock. You get what I'm saying? And let Brock Lesnar lay down outside the ring, you know? Because Brock is not a championship like how it used to be in 03. You don't wrong. He's a great wrestler, one of the greatest. But like, it's like when he signed the contract, I think days before SummerSlam or on the same day, it's like he retained. Like, damn, he retained it. And when they face off, when Braun faced Brock Lesnar and No Mercy, it was like, man, Brock Lesnar going to destroy this, man. I think he destroyed him like in 4 minutes.
Mm.
And it was like, this is not Braun, yeah. 2018 was definitely supposed to be the year. Going for, you know, Roman got his life beating on Brock Lesnar, 1-on-1 match. I'm telling you, this is like the second time. It's actually like the first time, but the second time the same, they face each other with no violence, self-violence, you know, with the main briefcase. No briefcase allowed. Cesaro is a hero, you know, he won the Intercontinental Championship on his term, you know, that night we defeated Finn the Miz. Roman Reigns got his ass beat out. Roman Reigns lost the controversy. Now Roman Reigns finally won the universe. Now Roman Reigns finally beat Braun Lesnar, 1-2 in a 1-on-1 match. Supposed to be Braun. Oh yeah, I forgot one thing. Braun won a Money in the Bank. When he won a Money in the Bank, it was like, man, he gonna get a world title shot. But when he was trying to cash in on Roman I think he was threatening to cash in on Roman. Hey, I just knew for a fact, like, that night, that same night, Roman Reigns won the same universe title the night before, before Braun threatened Roman. I already knew Finn Balor going to get a hunt for the universe title, you know. But they fought his push bad because of Brock in the WWE. You know, Brock would never took time off like that. I feel like Finn Balor would be in that mix. You at least get a universe title, man. I won't say... He probably wouldn't have won that match, but he deserved a rematch. But it was too late in 2019 for it. But
I think the WWE had lost confidence in Finn Balor being the because he gave up the championship so quickly.
Yeah,
they probably saw him as injury prone for a long time, and that haunted him.
Right. Yeah. So,
at the same time, before Finn faced Brock in the Royal Rumble 2019, you know, Braun, you know, the Shield came out. He almost came back with legitimate arm injuries that he had to get some more during the best days. He was out for like 8 months, I think. 8 months.
Yeah.
Almost a year. So you know, they attacked Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman probably won't win at Hell in a Cell. Probably won't fail. Because, you know, he put cash in. He cashed in on the line Hell in a Cell. It was kind of weak. I'm not saying Braun Strowman casting a weak move, but like what happened tonight, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns fighting to live hell each other. What made it so PG for WWE, Brock Lesnar came in and beat the hell out of the two guys, and that's the end of content. I'm like, what the fuck? You mean tell me that Brock Lesnar beat the hell out of them two guys and the match over like that because he attacked referee? Like, come on, what is going on?
Right. Just imagine
if Stone Cold Undertaker would fall off Hell in a Cell, and then like somehow Kane in the field, or Triple like any attitude wrestler in the field. I'm 21 years old. I know for real. Any attitude wrestler in the field, and they don't call that shit a match or no contest in the Hell in a Cell match. Not a regular match, a Hell in a Cell match. You know how stupid that shit would be in the attitude era, or even the Rusev Aggression era. Like, and then like. One last thing, you know, Roman puts a face on Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel. Was Roman got cancer, legit leukemia, when she had to vacate, I thought Braun was going to win. But it was a big epic fail when he lost against Braun. It was like one of the biggest epic fail of Braun's career. When
he right.
lost Brock at Crown Jewel. I was like, so this how it goes. So y'all going to let the man, you know, don't wrong, Brock way better than Braun Strowman. I give him credit what Pop do, but like, this is like Braun push, you know, the beams year and then he getting it.
Right. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. I mean, you know, they've failed so many times with Braun, and, you know, I mean, you know, I think, you know, I mean, every time, you know, I know Kurt here, you know, he's you know, he'll agree that Braun should have been champion at least already once by now.
Oh, at least.
He'll been, no doubt, maybe once, you know, won. I don't think, maybe twice, but like once. It'll be good for him.
Once at least, right.
Once at least. That's a matter of once, you know.
Right. Okay, so we're going to move on from this one. But OC versus the Viking Raiders and Cedric Alexander. All right, I like Cedric.
Poor Cedric, though. I know. It seems like the WWE is feeding him to other opponents now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I love Cedric Alexander when he was in Ring of Honor, when he used to team up with Caprice Coleman.
Yeah, you were saying that last time.
I love the lumbar tech. That move is just crazy. And anybody who takes that move and sells it, it gets my respect. I don't care who it is. If somebody I hate, they get my respect because that move's got to be like hard on Cedric's. You know, on his well, on
you
his.
You see the way AJ sells it. Jeez.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that was a really good match, you know, between the six of them. You know, I mean, AJ just coming out, they just destroying Cedric. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Left and right. And then, you know, they were, you know, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, everybody's out of the damn ring, you know, and everything's all screwed up. And AJ with the phenomenal forearm to Cedric and got the pin.
Yeah.
So the OC won that one. And then they attacked him again. And the Viking, you know, Viking Raiders made the save. Thank God. And
which I thought was interesting was that was probably the Viking Raiders' most hardest match on the main roster that they've had so far.
Right.
They've been steamrolling them over everybody until they went up against the OC, and the OC gave them a hell of a fight too.
To be really honest with y'all, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks. I think the Vikings will be in this ascension. You know, they already did good in NFC, but you know, this beat a hype for nothing. You know.
Well, the Viking Raiders, before they came to WWE and NXT when they were still War Machine over in Ring of Honor, I mean, those guys were just dominant as hell over there. They just let them run roughshod over people, you know. But after everything, you know, everybody's beating up everybody. Cedric actually crotched AJ and on the top rope, and then he tried to go for that top rope hurricanrana, but AJ hit it into a super styles clash. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Every time I see that happen, it's like, oh my god.
You gotta cringe and hope that they take that move right, you know? Because you position your head the wrong way and you could break a neck with that move.
this is the main question: when the Vikings won the tag team championship on WWE, they won't win in New Japan and Ring of Honor, but when they won on WWE.
Viking Raiders, they haven't won anything on the main show yet, have they?
They haven't won nothing. But they won an NXT Tag Team Championship, but they won one of them. Well, they won the championship on the main roster.
Yeah.
They should. Yeah. That is a team. See, they got all these big tag teams right now. You got the Viking Raiders, you got Heavy Machinery, you got the OC. Well, AOP is coming back.
Yeah.
We've been seeing, you know, promo vignettes from them for the last two nights. And they're talking about, hey, you know, we deserve an opportunity. If we don't get that opportunity, we're just going to take it. And, you know, so, you know, so everybody else has been kind of lost in the shuffle. Like, I mean, the Ascension, they didn't do anything right with the Ascension either. So, but. No.
Matter of fact, Matter of fact, is that one point on that? You know, Vikings way better than Ascension. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Not even close. They way better than Ascension. You know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the Viking Raiders are way better than the Ascension because they were already an established tag team.
You right. They was already established. You know.
Yeah. Right. They were established over in Ring of Honor, but
New Japan.
Yes.
Yeah.
New Japan. But I think they started teaming together in Ring of Honor first.
I think so. Yeah.
Because they were both in the top prospect. Tournament over in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and then, I think they were actually.
Then they decided to team them together, and that you know they were like, hey, you know, we make a good team. Let's do this, you know. So, but then we seen the video, and I love the video of R-Truth and Carmella, you know, touring the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, and they had a special tour guide, Kane, aka Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knox County, and you know. You know, Truth saying he's, you're a famous basketball player. And he said, Kane goes, well, you know, I'm the mayor, Glenn Jacobs. And then, and then he's like, hey, I'll show you guys around. And then you knew something was going to happen after that.
Kane and R-Truth have always worked well together. Those two are just funny together.
Yeah. So then we had the King of the Ring finals. Now, okay. After seeing what kind of went on tonight, last night, I'll be okay with it because, you know, Baron Corbin, Chad Gable, and they put on a hell of a match. And Chad Gable, I mean, that man was working hard, you know, and, I mean, he was busting his ass. You know, fans are like, Corbin sucks, you know, and, you know, I mean, they were going, it was a really good match.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, but, you know, and you know, but. Then, you know, Gable just was started unloading, then a deep six for a two count, and I was like, damn. And Corbin looked, he was like, he was about to cry. I mean, you know.
Say what you want about Baron Corbin, but the guy is, he's not a bad wrestler. He's, you know, he's proven himself. Mm-hmm. As I said before, somebody in the back really likes him with all the opportunities he's gotten.
Right.
But he, you know, he didn't rely on cheating and all that throughout the entire tournament. And
right.
And they both, he and Chad Gable, brought out the best of each other, I thought.
Yeah, they actually did really good.
You want to know one thing about Baron Corbin? She said he's not a good wrestler. I'm telling you, he is actually for real.
Yeah. Well, he's a good wrestler. It's just.
He's a fighter. That's it. He's a boxer. That's all.
Yeah.
But he's he's a good wrestler. He is. It's just, you know, it's like Roman Reigns part two because WWE is trying to shove him down our throats.
Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They keep pushing them and they keep failing and failing, but they want to push them more, you know?
Right. So, but, you know, and Gable even blocked an end of days, and you know, and then he got in the ankle lock and locked it in, and everybody.
I thought he had him in that ankle lock. I really did. Right.
And so, but Corbin managed to get to the bottom rope and breaking it off, and then, Corbin managed to catch Gable and they tangled, but. You know, Corbin actually got through and hit the end of days for the pin, and he won the King of the Ring tournament. So your winner in 2019 King of the Ring would be Baron Corbin. Okay, I just got to do this real quick. I got to do a shout out to my friend, Mr. Doki, because I was hoping Gable would win, and he said you got to do a shout out on the podcast. So Kevin, here's your shout out, brother. You were so.
I saw the bet. I was witness.
You were witness. You saw that. So. Yeah, no, yeah, Levante, because we talk on Discord while the shows are going on. So, yeah, my friend, he was like, nah, that ain't gonna happen. So,
well, except for Bret Hart, has never won the King of the Ring tournament.
Well, Stone Cold was never really a face or a heel.
Well, I can tell you this about Stone Cold. My bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. You know, I could. See, she said, bro, I'm Stone Cold. You know, around that time when Stone Cold came, he had some other case from ECW. I think he was supposed to win the ECW championship in 95.
Yes, well, he was. Yeah,
he was supposed to, but he said he didn't want it.
Yeah.
Because it would be better if he didn't win it. Yeah. Yeah. He actually vetoed against himself winning the ECW championship in ECW.
Against, of all people, Mikey Whipwreck.
But I got to ask y'all one question. Y'all was born at that time, you know. I wasn't, but I do know the why. But I don't know this. Why Stone Cold didn't want to win the ECW or Heavyweight Championship that night in 95?
Oh,
this is like late 1995.
ECW, when he was in ECW?
Yeah, with the long hair, all just, that.
The reason why he didn't want to win it is because he had got fired from WCW, and he was like, literally, it was like he was in this whole downward spiral that he was making, you know, for himself to push. Like, yeah, he couldn't win the big one. That's why he got fired. And him, if he would have won, it would have just totally blew his whole purpose for what he was doing out of the water. He didn't want to win it because he wanted to look like he was the guy who couldn't win the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when he came to WWF in 96, you know, was a million-dollar gimmick. You know, he had a million-dollar champion, but like...
Oh, yeah. Was the Hollywood Blondes in WCW, Kurt, or...
Yeah, that was WCW.
Oh, he came into WWE as the ringmaster at first.
Yes. Yeah,
but I think when he changed the gimmick around, you know, in like mid-96, Ron Joe, you know, he was that I don't give a fuck Stone Cold, you know, he don't give a fuck type right. dude, you know.
Well, yeah, he was the anti-hero kind of
anti, but like you know, around that time before he started whooping Vince McMahon's ass and started talking shit about Barrett and started beating his ass, he was like a heel, you know.
Well,
he was basically a heel until he had that match at Survivor Series against Bret Hart, where the fans actually switched sides on everybody.
I can say this, you know, that Survivor Series match, you know, made Stone Cold. He lost against Bret Hart Survivor Series, which is correction, but you know, Bret Hart came back to the, you know, he was on, I feel like Bret Hart was on depression mode when he came, like, when he lost his son, Michael. That's what I think, because he was out for 8 months, 9 months. Well, he came back, he actually really wanted a push that quick.
Yeah.
It was a storyline. I thought it was a storyline, but I was looking at everything real, but like, when he lost his cycle, he was very, very, very pissed. You know, he was very pissed at Vince. He was very pissed so bad. He asked you wanted where he was in 97, but the referee didn't see it, and Vince was just standing right there as a commentator. You know, Vince didn't do nothing. You know, around the time, Vince McMahon was also a commentator too, you know. But Brett got pissed, you know. He saw he would cuss at Vince McMahon in the steel cage. You know, Stone Cold actually cost himself as for the title opportunity before Bret Hart actually lost against The Undertaker, you know.
Mm.
But it was to get a date. Well, Psycho said, you know, Psycho said that night.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, Stone Cold, you know, he came as the ringmaster, and then but that match when he had that match at King of the Ring with that night he may have gone in, but. You know, that whole, you know, you can talk your Psalms and your John 3:16, but, you know, Austin 3:16 just said, I whooped your ass. That basically, he even if he was a heel, he went in maybe as a heel, but he came out as an anti-hero.
Yes, yeah.
Well, know? Yeah, because they probably loved the new gimmick he was, and then he was bald too, probably.
Yeah.
You know, he was bald
all the time. Yeah, but you know he came out and I'll give Vince credit, he let, you know, Austin run with that whole thing, and that's what made the Attitude Era what it is, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
yeah,
but you know? But around that time, you know, 96 before 96 before the Attitude Era, you know, back then, you know, it's still a new generation, it wasn't the Attitude Era day yet, like you said, you know, Vince McMahon made Stone Cold, but at the same time, you know, that's when, you know, a double turn controversy led into Stone Cold becoming one of the greatest babyface ever. To me, you know, I like, you know how the way Bret Hart made it personal. Bret Hart was getting a 20-year contract. It would be in 2017, he probably retired. You know, you would never know what happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think he would have made it that long because he had his stroke and all that. But
that is true. Yeah, matter of fact, I do agree with you on that. He probably wouldn't have made it that long. But, like,
right.
It probably gave him, like, another 5 to 10, or at least 10 years for him to wrestle. But, right.
That
controversy at WrestleMania 13 made Stone Cold one of the greatest babyface, you know,
right.
On his career, like an anti-hero shit, you know, beat the shit out of Vince, you know, because Stone Cold fought in that match. But Bret Hart, you know, like this was actually, you know, this one was scripted for it. It was like, you know, Bret Hart retired, you know, his thing of his career. He actually threatened to leave WWF.
Well, he was talking about when he left, he was going to leave with the WWE title and go to WCW.
For WCW title.
Yeah, you know, and then he did the Montreal screw job.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, I hate to say it, as pissed off as Bret Hart was, Vince had to save face for his company. And you know what?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I really don't.
I don't. Because I mean,
well, that's like, what's her name? Medusa. Was it Medusa or no? Was it?
Yeah, it was Medusa.
Title.
Yeah.
And they recreated it with the 24/7 title, and DiBiase bought it off of her.
But let me ask you something. What's your age? I'm 21. I'm just asking.
Oh, I'm 48.
48. For you,
I'm 47. So.
we were way around before that.
Y'all was born to watch all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when I was little,
was on TNN.
TNN was Spike before Spike. Yeah. You know,
right.
TNN came out in 2000. Because I don't think they even want to fuck. You know, USA they want together no more like that. But USA came back in 2005, you know, October 2005.
When WWE left for Spike TV or TNN, then they changed over to Spike, and then WWE went back to USA. Yeah, I think it was for like 5 years.
TNN/Spike working with WWE for 5 years.
Yeah, and then they went back to USA because USA probably offered them more money because they were probably losing money. And I hate to say it. I mean, I know, Kurt, I know you up there in Canada, you guys don't have USA, you know, network. But, you know, like down here, USA over the last, I'd say like last 10, 15 years has had some of the best TV shows that I've seen on TV. You know, like Burn Notice, that was a good fucking show. I mean, now they're getting into some of this reality shit and it's driving me nuts, like just Temptation Island and I have my whole thing about reality shows. 95% of them are fucking scripted. It's garbage. But, you know, but they, when they do come out with good shows like Burn Notice and Mr. Robot, that show will fuck with your head. And final season of that's coming up next month in October. Well, you figure Rami Malek was off filming Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. So now having him come back is Elliot and him and Christian Slater again. I mean, that show is fucking amazing. I mean, it's one of those shows. If you watch an episode the first time and you kind of don't understand it, you watch the episode a second time and then you pick up all the little smaller things that you miss. But I mean, that show's a total mind fuck. But anyway, okay, let's go back on.
But I gotta say one thing about this situation. Bro, when I was little, I always thought Bret Hart left WWF because of Vince McMahon. But all this shit because, you know, Vince McMahon did Vince McMahon did it for a reason, like you said, to save the company. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, Vince McMahon did that because, you know, Bret Hart was picking on Vince a lot, you know, beat him up, you know what I'm saying?
He was offered big money from WCW when they were just throwing money at anybody to bring him over. He's like, hey, my contract with WWE's up. I'm going to go sign with WCW.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do, fire me? So he's going to give them shit.
Yeah, but you got to say, you got to realize at the same time, you know, around that time, you know, early 97.
I mean, I understand, right, why both sides, I mean, Vince, why he did what he did, and I can understand why Bret was pissed.
But so, like, yeah. You know, Brett was pissed because, you know, he wanted a WWE title shot earlier, but Vince won't give it to him. But, you know, Vince gave him a 20-year contract. Well, a lot of them, it was like before the HW, you know, Bret Hart decided to go to HW with the money. But Bret Hart denied that shit, you know, and started picking on Vince a lot, you know. Cussing him out. Vince McMahon was getting embarrassed a lot. He even spit at Shawn Michaels' face. Right. I don't know if it's scripted or unscripted. I'm not sure about it, but I know that Bret Hart.
That shit was real.
Okay, yeah, it was real. Okay, and then like somehow, you know, it was also a storyline. Some of his Undertaker, you know, Shawn Michaels got pissed,
right,
and hit Mass and hit Undertaker with a chair. Bret Hart won the championship somehow.
Right.
It was like Bret Hart. You know that loss that Shawn Michaels Bret Hart thing. It was a real match. Right. It could be fake, but it don't be fake all the time.
Right.
That was a real
match. Yeah, Shawn Michaels and Bret didn't like each other. They just couldn't get along.
But
at the same time, you know, when Shawn Michaels beat Bret Hart, you know, Bret Hart beat Shawn Michaels a couple times more than I'm assuming Shawn Michaels beat Bret Hart. Bret Hart faced Dirty Ryan time, Shawn Michaels rising up. A year ago, 95, he almost won the WWE championship against Kevin Nash. But, yeah, you know, when Shawn Michaels won the WWE championship, you know, when he got back into the picture and, you know, won the way he won back-to-back in 96, you know, 0-0, you know, overtime, you know, they doing their thing. But overtime, Bret Hart, I feel like Bret Hart was so cocky. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even though he was a babyface around that time, but, like he was showing the heel moment when he walked out. Because he was walking up, thought the match was over, but like, you know, he's going to overtime, got pissed, he got kicked in the face, 1-2-3, you know, Shawn Michaels had a great World WWE Championship. I feel like Bret Hart was kind of depressed, man. I feel like Bret Hart was kind of depressed over that loss. You know, that
right.
Like, he was taking time for like eight to nine months.
Right.
He was like, I want to do title shot quickly as possible.
Right, right. Okay, let's get back on the right subject here. Monday Night Raw from last night. I mean, this is great. This is fun, but
yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
We still gonna discuss this.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to We'll have to do another podcast about like past matches and stuff and whatever and whatnot. But okay, so then they had the gender reveal party for Maria Kanellis, and then she came out and said she's having a boy, and Mike's all happy, and then she said the father was Ricochet, which I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And Ricochet is all like, what the fuck is that?
Mind you, I'm glad to see that they're still using this angle, and they're still using Mike Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
Yeah.
They still use them in the angle and stuff like that, because both are talented. Both are great wrestlers. Right.
Yeah, so then they go out and, you know, Mike's like, Mike was pissed, said, come on, go to the ring. And then, of course, Angelo Dawkins and telling Montez Ford, he thought she was going to reveal him to be the father. And
yeah.
Angelo's all like, they're like, what? You know, just looking at him like, wait, you're not the baby daddy. So are you, you know, it's like, what the fuck? So then they get in the ring. Ricochet ends up beating him.
Kicking his ass.
Mike Kanellis. But, you know, I mean, they used her last name because she was already in WWE once.
Yeah, that's the reason
and
why.
It's something they can market. So,
yeah.
Ricochet, you know, standing tall, and Mike looks on from the ring, and then, and then we see Bray in his Firefly Funhouse where he's hanging up the pictures on the wall, Finn Balor, Mick Foley, Kurt Angle, Jerry Lawler, but their eyes are all crossed out. That was creepy as shit again. But he said something missing to his wall of friendship. And they got eyes, their eyes X out. Okay. So,
hey, one thing, six minutes, I'm gonna leave, but we gotta go to work. What day you do this podcast?
Whatever days we feel like doing it. What, you gotta cut out?
Matter of fact, I wanna say one last thing before I cut out, because I go to work. I work at UPS.
I used to work security at a UPS, so yeah, I know how that plays.
How about this? let me think. Let's do this on a Friday and a Saturday. Would they be all right with y'all?
Yeah, one of these times we get on a Friday. We'll do you got to remember SmackDown's going to move to Friday.
Yeah, so I know.
We can start doing Fridays. We can do SmackDown on Fridays.
Yeah. But I got to say one more little thing. About Kofi tonight.
Oh,
I feel
okay.
Sorry for my boy. I think he gonna die. He gonna die.
Oh yeah, we always talk about like somebody come out, we know they're gonna get squashed, and we like, okay, he dead.
Yeah.
We always talking like that. That's funny as shit though. Like, all right, man, you gotta go to work. You know, hey, yeah, we'll get you back on again.
All right, man. So where y'all come? So where I'm gonna come back on this?
I don't know. We'll figure out something. Maybe we'll have to do an episode about past Royal, you know, King of the Rings and stuff like that. We'll get in there because you got okay. you got a wealth of knowledge.
Facebook.
Yeah, you got you hit me. I'll hit you up on Facebook, brother.
Be safe.
All right, man.
Okay.
Be safe.
Yeah, have a good one.
Peace out, man.
Bye.
So, oh, but no, that was fun. Somebody else, just us. And boy, he talks quick. But that's
yeah, he does, actually, doesn't he?
Yeah. God, he should be an announcer. Anyway, okay. So we come back, and Mike Kanellis is still sitting on the apron. He said, good talking to you, man. Good job. All right. So, yeah, so, you know, he's sitting there, and out comes Maria, and she's all like, well, obviously Ricochet's not the daddy. And then all of a sudden she says, here's the honor to her and her unborn child. You know, defend the honor, you know, trying to get to defend the honor. And Maria says maybe she will reveal the real father. And out comes fucking Rusev. With his porn, Freddie Mercury Queen porn mustache.
Which looks good on him. But he's slimmer and trimmer now, too. He looks hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
So, and then...
Notice he didn't come out with Lana, though. You notice that?
Right. So, you know, Rusev was stalking Mike. Mike's like, you know what? I don't care. I'm having a bad day. Congratulations if you're the father. Yeah. Congratulations his wife who's having a baby with another man, supposedly. And then all of a sudden, Rusev just, destroyed him at side. And then brings him back in the ring and then hits him with a big boot to the face and then hits the accolade and Mike just tapped out.
Yeah.
So I wonder what Lana...
This whole angle has got to lead to something, though. This whole angle of he and Maria Kanellis.
I hate to say it, but I would like to see Mike Kanellis beat Rusev.
I would like to see that too, actually. That would be a feather in Mike Kanellis' hat.
Right.
Rusev, he can take the loss, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, but so okay. Then we came back, Kane with R-Truth, and they're doing the tour, and all of a sudden here comes a new police officer, and the officer said he's also a referee. Which the video that they showed of R-Truth getting pulled over and a cop trying to pin him,
yeah,
a referee, and Kane, aka Glenn Jacobs, wins the 24/7 title. And he walks off with the title. Jenny, he still got it. You know, oh, my God.
Only because R-Truth ran into that football pole.
Right. It just runs into the goalpost and knocks himself out.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, okay. So, yeah, but ugly title, entertaining as fuck, though.
Oh, God, yes.
All right, so...
It still has a long way to go for it to catch up to the DDT Iron Man Championship, but yeah.
that title's been around for like forever. So
I know, it's had been blow up dolls as champion, ladders, chairs, it's had all sorts of things.
Oh yeah, that title, yeah, that's just the title's just nuts. Yeah, they had a ladder as a champion, a chair.
Yeah.
It's just, what? I mean, you know, WWE trying to recreate it in a more public forum like they're doing. I like the idea. It's just they needed the title's ugly as shit.
Yeah.
So then we found out that Baron Corbin would be coronated tonight on SmackDown. Yeah. So get past that. And then Rey comes out, Cesaro comes out, and saying Rey should have listened to his son and retired. And, says he's beat down Ray's son.
Yeah.
And then, Cesaro up on the apron, Ray kicked him off. And they had that match, Cesaro, totally underrated.
You never go wrong with Rey Mysterio versus Cesaro. You know, that's a Go, that's a main event match anywhere.
Whoever wins, they both win.
Yeah. But, so from now on, I'm going to start keeping a tally.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cesaro has not won in a long time. And yep. I'm going to call it the Cesaro stock. And if I don't expect it to go above zero at this point.
Ray ended up getting the win.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, you know, Cesaro, even if he loses, he doesn't look bad. You know?
He doesn't. No.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't, you can't go wrong. So, but, and then we had Sasha Banks and Bayley versus Alexa and Nikki Cross with a chance to, go up against them for the women's titles, because if Sasha and Bayley would have won, they would have had a shot at the women's tag team championships.
Which confuses me, because Sasha has stated that she doesn't care about the tag team titles.
Well, it doesn't matter, because I mean, I have to say, ever since they teamed up Nikki Cross with Alexa, I mean, it's hard to hate Alexa. I love to hate her. I really do. It's just, she's so cute and adorable.
Yeah, I know.
You know? But, you know, but Nikki, I mean, she is just putting in the work. And well, she teamed it up. I mean,
I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, because I know she's going to hear it, but Alexa Bliss and that ass.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot to say.
Yeah. You're not the only one. I mean, half the people in our Discord chat is, ooh, dead ass. 5 feet of fury and dead ass, I'm telling you. So, they actually took Alexa out, and she's had problems.
I don't know if that's a storyline or if that's right. an actual injury. No one's reported on that so far. So,
I haven't heard any. I haven't seen anything either pop up. But yeah. I mean, Nikki Cross basically 2-on-1 stuck defending. You know, just you know trying to, you know, do it. But yeah, she had to tap out. And it was a good match. It was.
Yeah,
you know, Nikki Cross. She's actually really, I really like her, because, you know, it's kind of like Bliss is like, the whole deceitful, bitchy, and Nikki Cross is just like, oh, you're my friend? Okay. But they make a good team. They really do.
They do.
I mean, they're about the same height, too, I think.
And I'm going to make a little interruption here, because as we're talking, I'm watching the sports highlights show.
Mm-hmm.
And the preseason for hockey has already started.
Oh my God!
The Leafs season is already over. They lost to Ottawa 3-1.
Oh God! Really?
Yeah. So the Leafs season is already over.
So don't the Leafs never win, do they?
they don't seem to. No.
No. But Banks says she's all, goes to the timekeeper's area. You're going to bring a chair out. Then out come Becky Lynch, and they're swinging, hitting the chairs against each other. And then Bayley brings in a chair. And, and then Charlotte came out, and Bayley runs up the ramp with the chair. But Flair got
Charlotte had to watch her step. Did you notice that Charlotte had to watch her step there in those heels when she started running down the ramp to do that big boot?
Uh-huh. Oh, I know, right? So, fans chant for Becky. Everybody loves the man.
Yeah.
So, Becky Lynch standing tall, and Charlotte got in the ring with Becky. I'm just, Sasha, backstage, saying, she wants a rematch. I didn't think they were supposed to have rematches, but she says if Becky's man enough to accept, Banks said, your move, bitch.
And Becky came, turned around?
Yeah. Becky said, it's on.
In the cell, of all things.
In hell, inside the cell. So, That's going to be a hard one. But, okay, so back from the break, and we seen Kane with the limousine, and R-Truth was hiding on top of the damn thing.
Yeah, I know. See the limousine driver when he went to go open the door for Kane? He's looking at R-Truth like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, just open the door. Yeah. And he got off and attacked him and re-won the 24/7 title, so that makes him, I think, a 16-time.
I think so, yeah.
Hold on, let me find out. Let's see. WWE 24/7. Okay. Championship. Yeah. Current champion is R-Truth, who is in his record 16th reign. And for a title that came, so May, so June, August, September. Titles 4 months. And 4 months old.
Yeah.
And R-Truth has already, like, won it 16 times.
Still has a long way to do. Well, he does have a long way to catch up to Raven at 27 reigns.
Right.
Well, he might pass the Houdini hardcore.
Yeah, he might. Yeah.
You know, God rest his soul. I mean, I loved Crash Holly, but okay. Anyway, so you know the funny thing is he has his 16th title reign, and he won it on the 16th of September.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. So, all right. So we'll move on. Lacey Evans, Dana Brooke, another, Dana Brooke taking on Lacey Evans, and you figure Dana Brooke was a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think, you know, they should have pushed Dana Brooke better.
Well, Dana Brooke's a very talented wrestler. It's just, the WWE never can seem to get it behind her for some reason. I don't know. It almost boggles the mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, Lacey Evans, you know, the she's a Southern Belle in the 1940s pinup.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, whatever.
Which bothers Vendetta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's an actual term for it, but the WWE always screws it up. So,
right. So, Dana, you know, I feel bad for Dana. They need to do something. I mean, hell, even an all women show or something.
Yeah.
You know, hell, given an hour. I mean, I think you cover most of the women an hour, except for like some of the bigger titles.
Oh, probably.
You know, for big shows, but do an all women show on the network. But anyway, okay. So, Evans got her with the women's right, and
then she put him in the sharpshooter.
Yeah, and then did sharpshooter to piss off Natty.
Yep.
Yeah, so. And then Seth Rollins versus Robert Roode. And, of course, Ziggler's out on the apron. And that's the whole, hey, I'm going to come out and help make sure my friend can cheat so he can win. So.
And that's when the OC came out. Once again, they made Seth Rollins.
Well, Ziggler came in and made Seth win by DQ.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then everybody came out. They're beating on Seth.
He just made Seth look weak compared to Braun Strowman, right. You know, and Seth Rollins is your Universal Champion.
Right.
You know, you don't want that to happen.
But the one thing that made it good, I mean, after R-Truth re-won the title, said, hey, man, you still got it. You should, let's go, you know, Raw is home. And Kane's like, yeah, you're right. And all of a sudden, boom.
Kane with the mask.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, yeah, Kane came out. And all of a sudden you hear that that organ music.
Yeah.
Just like took everybody out. But of course then the Fiend hit the Mandible Claw and took out Kane and then Wyatt like goes over and starts messing with Rollins, you know, and laughing and sound, you know, just laughing and kinda just being creepy. So
Rollins was freaked out at lying in the corner. He was looking right at him like, holy shit.
So, even with the King of the Ring, like I said, tonight kind of made up for it.
Yeah.
So having the King of the Ring on Raw, you know, we talked about it was good that they didn't have it at Clash of Champions, but they had it tonight. So they had it last night, you know, the finals. And, of course, King Cornball won. I mean, Corbin.
Or some people in the group have been calling him King Cornet.
Yeah, King Cornet because it's because you know, he's annoying and nobody likes him. So anyway, yeah. But I said that. That was funny. I liked that one. I thought that was clever. So anyway, so I mean, Raw. I would give an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. It was a good Raw. It was right. A good Raw, especially leading up to Hell in the Cell. So
right. So, but yeah, I mean, even up, you know, the takeaway show from, Clash of Champions, and yeah, Clash of Champions, even though only two titles actually, or two championships were only lost or that got turned over when they were both the Raw and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. So.
Yeah.
Okay with that. So then you had starting off with SmackDown tonight. They're talking about Daniel Bryan's going to address things about Rowan, and Eric Rowan was sat down with Michael Cole. You know, he kept calling him Mike.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, you know, and so start off was New Day versus The Revival and Randy Orton. So
that was a long but good match.
That was really, it was a really, really good match. Yeah, and
for like, what, 30 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, close, 20, yeah. 25 minutes. But, I mean, you know, they kept working on, you know, Xavier Woods' knee. And, but they were going back and forth. Yeah, I mean, it was actually, you know, it was a damn good match. But, yeah, and, of course, Kofi ended up hitting Trouble in Paradise on Dawson for the pin and the win, so you got the New Day winning. And yeah. Then Brock Lesnar.
Of all people, Brock Lesnar. Nobody saw that coming.
So he comes out, and, of course, you know, my name is Paul Heyman. Comes out. It's like, you know, he's trying to remind us what his name is. Either that or he just keeps saying it because he's getting so old, he's starting to forget it. So, so you know, he comes down. And, you know, they get in the ring and Heyman, you know, says, hey, and, Heyman, you know, says Lesnar has authorized him to inform Kofi that this is a bad day for the New Day. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Really? So, you know, Heyman's talking about, he's challenged Kofi on behalf of Lesnar for the title on the line during SmackDown's Fox premiere on Friday, October 4th. Heyman gives, you know, Kofi the mic and Kofi said he promised to be a fighting champion. So he accepts.
Now, a lot of people are saying that Kofi's probably going to drop the belt on that show. Right.
Right.
What if, because I said that Brock Lesnar was not going to hold the Universal title for only a month, but he did. And mm-hmm. he dropped the belt to Seth Rollins. What mm-hmm. if for that match, Kofi Kingston goes over Brock Lesnar?
Oh, that'd be a big, that would be a freaking amazing and a good start to their,
I know, right?
Podcast, Fox. Talk about
ratings.
And then of course, he's like, I'm a fighting champion. So hell yeah. And Lesnar charged him, hit him with an F5. And
basically murdered poor Kofi.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Levante said before he took off, Kofi, he did.
Yeah.
So then we come back. Kayla Braxton with Sasha Banks and Bayley. Banks calling Becky Lynch a jealous wannabe and isn't worried. She was worried about facing her at Hell in a Cell. But because Lynch has never been in a cell match. Well, and,
on the flip side, Sasha's never won a cell match.
Right.
She's only been in one, and that was against Charlotte, and Charlotte beat her.
Yep.
Yeah.
When did she actually won at a pay-per-view?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, since when has Sasha won at a pay-per-view? So.
Yeah, like I said, it's been a long time. Well, yeah. Actually, Clash of Champions, technically she won, because she won by DQ.
Okay. Yeah. Win the title.
Yeah,
title related, and on a pay per view. Usually, if she has a title, she loses it.
Yeah.
So,
it's not a question of whether Sasha can win the championship. It's a question of whether she can hold the championship.
Right. So, oh. Okay, hold on. Oh, I just got a reply to this. I mean, I'm replying to a friend of ours, Mr. Nick.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He goes, yeah, just to pop this up, a little fun fact. He sends me a message and says, did you see the abomination Pizza Hut is bringing out now? Pizza Hut introduces new stuffed Cheez-It pizza.
Oh, yeah, I saw a commercial for that.
I love Cheez-Its. I have a box right here. Where are they? Cheez-Its. Hell yeah, I love Cheez-Its. Oh, wait, now I'm going to eat some. So, okay, anyway.
Damn, Nick.
Yeah, right? He said, oh, he goes, I read some reviews on it. They called it garbage. They're becoming the Burger King of pizza. Well, hold on. I read some reviews that called it garbage. They're becoming the Burger King of pizza. I mean, it could be good, but don't know. I said, at least it's not Cheetos.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got a couple. I'm good. Just to tide my little tummy over for a minute. All right. So, but although the Cheetos popcorn chicken was decent. Oh, that's KFC. Right. Yeah. Right. And then we got to, you know, we got to look at Luke Harper returning at Clash of Champions, which kind of threw all of us for a freaking loop.
Oh, God, yeah. But I'm glad to see Luke Harper back. Mm-hmm. I've always been a huge fan of him ever since his Brody Lee days in the Indies.
Right. So, so Michael Cole interviewing him, ask him, and Rowan's surprised that Michael Cole knew his name. So, Cole asked Harper why Harper returned to Clash, and Rowan tells Cole, says, if you want to know why Harper returned, go ask him.
Yeah.
You know, and asking about the attack on Reigns, and, you know, saying, you know, I'm smarter than that. Everybody thinks they're equal, you know, Cole told him, saying, you know, you tried to kill Reigns. And Rowan, you know, told him, you better lower your tone because he no longer allows anyone to speak to him that way. So, and Rowan says he's been overlooked and underappreciated for far too long, which is true, him and Harper.
But, oh, definitely, yeah.
But most importantly, he's been disrespected. And Rowan says people like Cole, Reigns, Daniel Bryan, and the rest of WWE think he may be just goof in the background, you know, but he's not a puppet. And, you know, the funny thing is he is actually really smart. He's a member, I think he's a member of Mensa.
Rowan. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. He said he's not a follower, he's a leader, which is weird because I thought Luke Harper would always be the leader type.
You know? Yeah, you know, I thought that, but whatever.
So, and then Nicole asked him why he betrayed Brian, as Brian said, he said Brian's biggest mistake was thinking they're intellectual equals. And Rowan goes on about how he's better than Brian and Reigns and says everyone will learn to never disrespect him again. And so, I mean, I hate to say it, but does it look like to you that it's going to be Reigns and Daniel Bryan versus Rowan and Harper?
It feels like that's what they're pushing for, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to see what happens. And, I'm not against it.
No, I'm not against it.
I kind of like the idea, you know. You know, and then, you know, the big dog and the underdog, because Daniel Bryan's always been the underdog, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then we had Shinsuke Nakamura versus Ali and Sami Zayn coming out with that stupid freaking neck brace. You know. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you know, Nakamura winning over The Miz. Well, of course, you know, whatever. But, and then Sami brings up, you know, that, you know, Ali had a win over Nakamura before he met Sami. And then all of a sudden, you know, Nakamura's in the ring. And, you know, Sammy grabbing Ali from behind, and then they start double teaming on him. Poor Ali.
It was like three moves, and Ali was right. Like on. Which is a shame because Ali's such a talented wrestler. Mm-hmm. That's another guy who should get pushed.
Right. So, you know, they grab him behind, they start beating him up, and then Sammy's yelling at Ali, and Nakamura gets it lined up, hits the Kinshasa on Ali, and the match never even really started, so.
No, it didn't, no.
Oh, Then one of the best parts of the night, camera shows Kevin Owens walking through the crowd.
Yep.
With his ticket, takes a seat. And a referee walks in and, you know, says, oh, someone's here to see him. And then Owens is out in the crowd. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, thank you, Captain Obvious. I just saw it on the TV right next to me.
Did you notice when Kevin Owens came out in the crowd and walked to his seat? Mm-hmm. Did you notice the security guy that was beside him?
Yeah, the black guy that was with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He almost looked, I thought for a minute that was Apollo Crews for a second. You know? he looked almost exactly like him. I was about to say, what is Apollo Crews hanging out doing with Kevin Owens? This could be something interesting.
I mean, hell, the two of them together, I think they'd make a good team if they ever did.
Yeah, probably would.
So, and then Shane walks out of his office. The man hands him and says, are you Shane McMahon? He goes, yes, I am. He goes, you've been served, and gave him papers. And Shane looks pissed.
Yeah.
And then we come back, see Kevin is sitting there. Everybody's, yay! Shane makes his way out holding the legal papers. And Shane calls for security to come out. And he tells Owens in the crowd. And, Shane, standing on turnbuckle he gets his stupid entrance, best in the world entrance, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So, and there's a spotlight, of course, on Owens,
Of course,
And Shane's like, well, yeah, no coincidence that I got these papers. And Shane tells Owens, well, why don't you just come in the ring so they can talk about it.
He made a quick beeline for that ring, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, so Shane tells the security, hey, you guys can go off to the side, and we're going to talk man-to-man, face-to-face. And Shane says he's holding the world's largest wrongful termination lawsuit in history. Shane says Owens will be awarded $25 million if he wins. Shane goes on and Owens interrupts him. Tell him to shut his stupid mouth and calling him a dumbass.
They're allowing Kevin Owens to be Kevin Owens.
Right.
So that's just smart.
Right.
That's just smart all around. Because
it reminds me when he was in ROH, when he was flip-flocking back and forth, when he was a part of Scum and then helped take out Scum. And just himself, Owens, Shane's all like, I barely read it, but your case is weak. And, Owens just says he has a strong case and goes on to say how Shane ruined SmackDown and brings up that Shane fined him, $100,000 for attacking a special referee who was Elias.
Yeah. But
Shane attacked him from behind like a coward last week when he was a referee against the match against Shane or Chad Gable, which Owens didn't even call for the bell. They just rang it because he tapped.
Yeah.
So, Shane didn't get fined for, attacking a referee. And he fired Owens for insubordination. Owens said he wasn't being insubordinate. He goes on and gets you tapped out. I was like, Shane tapped out. And then Owens said he tried to reason with him and fight him. And then he tried helping him. But now, to get rid of this fine. And now he wants to just hurt him in the best way is through his wallet and his pride. So, Owen says that he knows a lot more about money and that Owen has a legitimate case. And he tells Shane knows it. Owen says Shane didn't read the papers good enough. And says Owens gets to come back to SmackDown when he wins. Look Shane in the face in front of everyone and saying, Shane McMahon, you're fired.
Yeah.
Owen drops the mic. And I swear to God, I think Shane shit his pants. It made it look
good. The crowd had a huge pop to that.
Oh, yeah. So, Owen drops the mic, takes off, and Shane just looks like, oh, my God, he might actually, because he was the referee, and Shane was acting as a performer.
Yeah, they're making this angle, this feud interesting again.
Ever since they let Owens just be himself, I love it, and being more true to calling out things as they are, nobody wants to see you inserted yourself on the SmackDown, put yourself in these matches, made yourself the best in the world, and nobody wants to see your ass, you're just, taking away times from everybody else. So, and then we had, Charlotte with Ric Flair in the back. Everybody was happy because, of course, everybody loves Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And then,
despite his lawsuit about the man title,
well, you know what? I think probably WWE just might have gave him money because he's probably broke.
Yeah, so, he probably is. Yeah,
you know, like, hey, if you come show up on our show, we'll give you some money. And like, okay, so, yeah. And then we had Charlotte Flair versus Sasha. So, you know, they had a. Offset of Migos, the rapper. I've never heard of him.
Never heard of him before either. And he was wearing Ric Flair's robe, which was... I was like, what the fuck is this?
You know, they were in Georgia. So he's probably someone, you know, hometown, you know, somebody they know. And, probably, and they probably, you know, Rick probably said, okay, it's whatever. Go ahead and wear it. Have fun. You know, and, you know, I mean, I like it. You know, they're, you know, showcasing people, you know, whatever. And so, you know, and then, then out comes Sasha with Bayley and back and forth. Of course, Bayley trying to cheat, you know, tried to do under the turnbuckle.
Pat. Yeah.
So.
A repeat of Clash of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, almost a repeat.
right. So, and then Flair with that big moonsault off the, you know, and hitting Banks and Bayley right in front of the announcer's table. That was good.
She's got a beautiful moonsault. What can we say?
So, Bayley, of course, distraction. And then Flair came back, hit the figure four. And she goes to start the bridge, but Bayley comes in and attacks her. And yeah, Bayley is becoming a heel, bad time.
Big time, yeah. Right. But as I said before, I like heel Bayley. I really do.
Yeah, it's interesting to see her not being the hugger.
It's something her character needed, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, she was too nice.
Yeah.
So, and then of course they're going to double team. Flair and Carmella came down, who was friends with Bayley, and. Drops Bayley with a boot and she super kicked Banks and then Flair dropped Bayley with the boot and Flair and Carmella were, you know, standing in the ring and I was kind of thinking, I said R-Truth must be hiding somewhere backstage in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the coronation, Baron Corbin comes out saying, oh, he's going to be, you know, a good king. And, you know, he's going to show, you know, some dominance and strength, but he's also going to be generous and fair, which we know is bullshit because, yeah, we know it's bullshit. So,
oh, yeah.
And then, of course, he's saying, I should be shown the respect I deserve. No, you don't. You have to earn it. But, yeah. So.
And then he started with this. He called out Chad Gable.
Yeah. He said he wanted to recognize his opponent. And we're thinking, yeah. I'm thinking, okay, this is. Why do I have a feeling that was going to turn out bad? But
yeah, they start with the shirt jokes.
Oh yeah. So, he keeps mocking him. Then Gable tackled his ass through the throne, breaking it.
Yeah. Beating on him. You know, in the little snippet song by Metallica, you know, I am the table. Instead of that, I was going to say at that moment, I am the chair. Or
right.
The throne.
Right. So, Gable grabbed a scepter and broke it, and then he broke it, and it sent pieces out over into the ring, which you saw Corey Graves was like, you know, like crying over.
Yeah.
And then, then he destroys everything while Corbin's at ringside screaming. Then he rips the robe, and then, you know, Corbin, of course, throwing his fit on the wrap, and then he grabs the crown, places it in the middle of the ring, and then stomped on it, kicked it out. And Corbin was crying.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this
is different. This is,
this makes up the King of the Ring.
It's something different for Corbin as well. You know, right. That's something I think he needed to do just to add something different to his persona, his heel persona and stuff like that. And to see him crying was like, yeah.
Right. So, of course, and then, yeah, I mean, but just, I want to see, because I'm kind of digging the way Chad Gable's been. He fought really good throughout the tournament.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, they're talking about, remember, tomorrow, people, NXT on USA. So, but I think, you know what? I think NXT's is, it may be, people might watch it for the first couple of weeks, but I wonder if it's going to get overshadowed by people watching AEW.
Well, AEW starts on October 2nd. October 2nd, so, we'll find out, you know.
All right. So, I mean, you know, they're trying to start off with something big. What is it? A Velveteen Dream versus Roderick Strong for the North American title?
And Killian Dane versus Matt Riddle in the no DQ and I think Falls Count Anywhere's match.
Okay, now we're going to talk about the blinding light that you saw.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Heavy Machinery versus Jobbers. I mean, I'm sorry, the B-Team. So Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas come out. And then, of course, we see Heavy Machinery, Tucker and Otis. And Otis
takes off his shirt and he's not wearing his usual singlet.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's just in trunks and is like, oh my God, I'm blind.
I mean, it's kind of like when Sheamus comes out.
Yeah. Otis is a big, big, big guy.
Yes, he is. So, I mean, you know, they're starting off, you know, I got to give it up. B-Team, you know, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, look at Curtis Axel. He's the son of,
Kurt Hennig,
you know, Mr. Perfect. Yeah. And Bo Dallas is the brother of The Fiend, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt, and his father was IRS, you know.
And his uncle or grandfather was Blackjack Mulligan. His uncle was Barry Windham. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole family all right there, you know.
Right. Yeah. So
somehow related to the Rhodes, you know.
Right. So, this was actually a really good match. Axel and Dallas, you know, getting in, you know, a little bit and got Tucker for the DDT. And they keep, you know, trying to keep Tucker grounded, keep him away from Otis. And, you hear Otis up there, come on, Tucker. Come on, yeah. Tucker. You know, and then Otis got that hot tag. Oh, and he just, I'm sorry. They just need to call him Bulldozer.
Yeah, really.
You know, and then, of course, nothing funnier than a fat white man doing the worm, a.k.a. the caterpillar, hitting it on Dallas. Tucker tags in, kicks Axel in the face, and then Tucker, and Otis did the compactor for the win. And all you see is...
I think that they're trying to build up a Heavy Machinery again for to be top contenders to the tag team titles.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'd like to see them, get them titles.
Yeah.
Know? Wait, they held them for a little bit, didn't they?
No, they haven't. They haven't held the hold a WWE championship yet.
Mm.
Not even in the NXT.
Mm.
They came close, but not yet.
Well, you know, I think Heavy Machinery needs a new theme song, and I'm going to suggest Manfred Mann's Blinded by the Light.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so. But, good win for Heavy Machinery. And then you see Daniel Bryan comes out. You know, people are chanting his name, which... Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan, good or bad, you know, people still love him.
Yeah, but he's still trying to do the heel things. And you people who chant my name now were the ones who booed me earlier, who accused me of running over Roman Reigns. You know, shame on you and all that stuff. He's still trying to do the heel thing, but he's going to be a face at this point. Let's face
it. Right. So, Bryan, you know, saying a lot of people are chanting his name. Yeah, are the same ones who accused him, right? You know, and behind the attacks. And then he says, but good or bad, he has never lied to the people.
Yeah, which is actually true.
You know, and then he's like, you know, he was all totally exonerated for his attacks on Roman Reigns. But he's not here to talk about that. He was talking about Rowan. And he said how Rowan felt disrespected and invisible. Said, you know, he's the one who saw Roman, saw his potential, his talent, how smart he was, and that he was special, and that he didn't just see Roman as an equal, but that he treated him as an equal and as a friend. And because Rowan was his friend, you know, and Rowan comes out and he's sick of, you know, hearing Bryan talk. And You know, he's like, yeah, you stand, you know, I was standing behind you while you did the talking. You know, he goes in, you know, he's pointing out how Brian never asked him how he felt about anything, you know. And then Brian tells Rowan to do something about it because there's nothing physically he can do that's worse than breaking up their friendship, betraying him and lying to him. So, yeah, and then Rowan, you know, said he wasn't going to do anything. And bam, Luke Harper with the attack from behind.
And that's when things started to get crazy.
Yeah. They destroyed him, you know, and then, like, when they panned the camera away to see Reigns come out, you know, Rowan actually delivered, what is his move called with the
hand on the claw?
Iron Claw, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was having a brain fart there for a second. So, you know, and, Reigns, you know, goes for the Superman punch. Harper comes to the apron, and Reigns knocks him off. You know, and then Reigns with a drive-by and got a big boot. And then, power-bombed him into the ring post. Harper pulls up the padding on the floor. They were pulling a Nexus.
Oh, yeah, they were pulling. They're destroying everything on that.
I'm surprised they didn't rip up the ring. Right. Yeah. Ring like the Nexus did. And then security comes down. They're getting their asses beat. And
it was wild. Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, and then Rowan ripped off a piece of the wall from the escapers area and hit Roman with it.
See, that's what happens when you don't let Harper leave.
Right. You know, and they're tearing up the announcers area at ringside, you know, and then they
one of the announcers got his ass kicked.
Wasn't that Tom Phillips?
I think it was Tom Phillips, yeah.
You know, Harper's manhandling Brian, you know, and then they picked him up and double choke slam him through the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rowan's like, well, we're not going to be disrespected. And referees come checking him out. And, you know, Rowan and Harper are standing over there. SmackDown, done. Wow. I mean, it was not a bad show.
It wasn't. That ending was awesome.
I will actually give this a 9.
I'll give it an 8.5, actually.
Well, I'll give it a 9 because I don't feel like doing a half.
Okay.
So, well, you know what? 8.5. Fuck it. So we'll go 8.5. But no, it was a good show. You know, the smashing of the crown was like a redeeming thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, Chad Gable coming out, smashing it all up. That's something you've never seen before, and that's actually good.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, no, not a bad couple of 3 days here, you know.
It has been.
You know, WWE's trying to pick up their game. I mean, they're still a little pissed off. They're not selling all their seats out.
And it's not over yet, because tomorrow is the 2-hour live debut of NXT on USA Network.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so it moves from the network to USA, so they can get paid money. So, yeah, but...
So it's not over. It's not over yet, but changes are coming, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah, I mean... they're trying to ramp up their game because they know, even though they try to dissuade us and tell us that it's not a competition, you know, they're definitely throwing shade at AEW and trying So, but not a bad couple of days.
Nope.
Ugh.
As I said before, and I'll say it again, competition is good for business.
Right. Well, you know, and I hate the way WWE is going about it. You know, they're trying to, we're going to put this show up, you know, and get it up before they can get their show on. So that way people will probably watch our show over their show. And
did we lose you?
Uh-oh, I hit the mute button. Okay.
Anyway. Oh, okay.
That was my bad. No, but, you know, this whole, you know, I mean, you know, they're sitting there. Yeah, no, I hit my mute button on my headset. Yeah, not good. So, but, you know, we're going to put this on there and we're going to try and beat them at their own game. But, you know, the funny thing is, AEW is selling out their seats and WWE is not. And that pisses me off.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long can AEW
hold that momentum?
That's the question. That is the big question.
I mean, you know, and AEW has a lot of talent that I've liked from, you know, like Ring of Honor and WWE. You know,
From all the indies, yeah.
All the indies, you know, they're bringing in. I mean, they got some, you know, great independent talent. I mean, hell, they got, you know, like Jungle Boy.
The All Elite Wrestling Channel announced the brackets for the tag team title tournament.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yep. The Lucha Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And first round faced Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
Oh, ho, ho.
That's going to be a good match. If not, the Young Bucks versus Private Party is going to be a show stealer as well.
Oh, God. Wow.
And SCU faces Best Friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Loretta and Chucky T?
Yeah.
Oh, no. And Chucky T is always funny, though.
Dark Omen has a buy into the second round already, so.
Oh. Wow. So, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's gonna be, you know, I mean, you know, WWE, you know, I think they kind of blew it with the Young Bucks. You know,
can you imagine the Young Bucks in WWE? It would be mind-boggling, actually. They probably wouldn't get used as well or be allowed their creativity.
Right. I mean, you know, that's the thing I like about AEW is they're allowing people to use their creativity.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
As long as they get points on what they're doing, not, you know, fed scripts, which WWE likes to do. I mean, they've started relaxing a little bit.
Yeah.
But only with some people.
So. Yeah.
But
still a work in progress.
Right. So all right. So we did a double for two shows because last night, it was kind of late. But all right. So we're going to call it out of here. And And so I don't know. Probably do another one next week because we're bored and we have nothing better to do. Yeah, we don't have a pay-per-view either, so.
Yeah, we have no lives.
Yeah, we're boring. Yeah, we have lives. Yeah, so. All right, well, we had Levante on earlier, and I had my good friend Mr. Kurt here. Thanks for joining me, man.
Not a problem.
I'm sure we'll probably do another one next week, and we'll see how things, we'll just keep doing whatever we got to do. I don't care. We don't want to just stick to wrestling. We'll come up with other things. I'll have probably other people on, you know, whenever I feel like it. And I don't know, we'll figure something out. But, yeah, maybe we'll have to see if we can get some more people and get a bunch of us in here for, talk about, like WWE and WCW past and, you know.
You know who we need to get on?
Hmm.
Tyrus and get on voice. She's never been on voice, so.
That'd be like getting Benny.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, Tyrus and Benny on voice. That's right.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah. So, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah, getting Lenny on voice.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Me, Grimlock, don't see that happening. Anyway. All right, people, thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you probably next week. Yeah, because like we said, we have no lives. So take it easy, peace out, and we'll catch you later.
Have a good one.